Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
What is going on, everyone, and welcome back to the channel. I hope you're all having an amazing day. Now, today I'm back on one of my favorite subreddits, r/ProRevenge. There's nothing like a quality story of revenge, in my opinion. It's just different to everything else. It just gets you going. I love seeing some karmic justice, and that is what we're going to be seeing in today's episode. Starting off with the worst sort of person, in my opinion. Someone that's just horribly rude, selfish, and hogs a pool or billiards table. I don't think there's anything as bad as that, to be honest with you. But this guy somehow goes even worse, and thankfully, we see some justice for him in the end. Got rude guy arrested for suspended license. In the mid-2000s, my friends and I would frequent a small billiards place in a neighboring town where you could rent a table by the hour or play per game. We'd play a few games, watch whatever sports were on TV, and have casual conversations. There were no problems and no drama until about 3 months of us visiting this place. A guy shows up and takes our spot at the billiards table. No big deal, we were all chatting anyway. 20 minutes later, my friend lets him know that we want to play the next game, but this jerk is super dismissive. Needless to say, we didn't get in during the next game, so I politely let him know we wanted to play next. Another lady chimed in that she wanted the game after us. The guy blatantly ignored me and the other woman. Some more time goes by and the guy leaves the table. We see our chance to get in. We put the quarters in and the balls are dispensed, except the green six ball. The guy took it to the bathroom with him. At this point, it was ridiculous and we notified the manager. The manager noted it was 12:30 and they were going to be calling last call and closing, so we didn't want to make a scene by kicking him out. He gets us another ball so that we can play. The guy comes out of the bathroom and knows that we realized what he did. He smirks and proceeds to the patio to have a cigarette, bringing along his beer and the green billiard ball. The guy comes back in and tosses the ball he was holding onto the table, hitting a few balls on it and messing up our game. He goes up to the bar just in time for last call. One of the friends I was with suggested we follow him home and each call the highway patrol to report a suspected drunk driver. 3 of 4 of us agree. So when he leaves, we used our trusty Nextel push-to-talk phones and coordinated several calls to the police. We provided details like license plate, vehicle make, and model and color, and mentioned the car nearly hit another vehicle, was swerving between lines, and driving erratically. This was under a 15-minute plan. We had no idea where the guy lived, but suspected it was close as he was visiting a neighborhood place, so our time was limited. The one guy who didn't notify the police tailed the jerk and called us giddy when a police officer pulled between him and the guy and turned on his lights to pull him over. The police blotter that week included an arrest of a guy who was pulled over after multiple calls of erratic driving. He wasn't arrested for DWI, but instead for driving on a suspended license. Well, there we go. Dealt with phenomenally well. I'm actually quite interested to know how this guy wasn't done for drink driving. Maybe he did just have a couple of drinks and that was all. But still, I'm not sure I'd necessarily advocate that, even though it's within the limit, just about. But yeah, good to see that you guys got some justice. Because what kind of guy does this? I mean, seriously. Like, fair enough if you want to play an extra game. I mean, is that even fair? I'm not sure. You know, if you want to play two games and you say to people, listen, I know that you're waiting, but I really just want to play another game. I mean, even then, you should just give the table up. Sorry, you should. But then what he did after that, taking the green ball to the toilet. I mean, what? I've never heard of someone doing that. And then ruining the game, the next game, by chucking it on the table just for the sake of it. Why? I think he deserves to be arrested just for that pettiness and just being a jerk in general. Good revenge. Okay, that's going to do it for the first story of revenge in this episode. Let's move on to the second. Now, I want to give a little bit of context here because it might seem like it's a little bit boring and professional and mundane. But trust me, this isn't one of those. It's really, really good and the justice is excellent. It's definitely one of the most well-written pieces that I've read in a while. And it's about someone that we all kind of hate, right? Landlords. I think we can all generally agree that landlords aren't the best. They're sometimes extremely difficult to work with and yeah, deal with. But you may think that residential landlords are bad. Actually, in this situation, we have a story about a commercial landlord who is absolutely horrible. Without further ado, let's get into it. A lawyer's pro revenge on a landlord. Landlords are jerks, generally speaking. Everyone knows that. But if you think residential landlords are bad, they are nothing compared to commercial landlords. Landlords of commercial buildings are some of the cruelest, nastiest people I've ever come across. This revenge tale is about a commercial landlord and how I dealt with him. Back in the 90s, sometimes I'd go for lunch at this restaurant in the basement of our building. The place was called The Vault because it had a massive bank vault that had always been there, dating back to the days before the place was turned into a restaurant. The vault was so huge that they could see a couple of tables in there, and you could eat dinner surrounded by rows of old, gleaming safe deposit boxes. One day I was there for lunch, and the owner took me aside. "The landlord's driving me nuts," he said. "The landlord drives everyone nuts." I was a subtenant in the same building, sharing space with an old lawyer, Aaron, and the landlord was always causing us trouble. I'd already had a few run-ins with him, and we hated each other on sight. In most jurisdictions, commercial landlords don't need court orders to get you out. Instead, they just change the locks and you find out about it when you show up and your key doesn't work. Every time our landlord had a dispute with anyone, which was often, he'd always threaten to change the locks. He keeps demanding all this stuff for extra rent, and it's really weird because a lot of it's really old. The restaurant owner showed me a letter the landlord had served on him earlier that day. I looked over the demand and read a list of expenses for snow removal and parking lot repair and common area flooring and all kinds of trash going back years. I read it all the way to the end, and there it was, the usual clause saying he was going to change the locks if the tenant didn't pay this and do that. From the wording of the demand, it looks like you've been fighting a while. Why did you wait before consulting a lawyer? I asked one of the lawyers I know and he said it's hopeless. He told me the lawyer's name. It was a guy I knew with a trashy real estate practice who had resorted to taking little legal aid cases to keep the lights on when the market tanked in 89. "Did you do something to make the landlord hate you?" I asked. "Because this is a bit over the top, even for our jerk landlord. He knows I'm moving the restaurant. I think he's trying to grab as much money as possible before I go. Plus, he's giving me grief over the vault." "He won't let you take it with you?" "Are you kidding? It weighs almost 100 tons and I don't need it. But the lease says I have to remove it and that I also have to restore the building to what it was before there was a vault. That would cost a fortune. The jerk landlord says if I leave the vault behind when I move, he'll sue." "Send your lease up to my office and let me look it over," I said. I finished my lunch and when I got back to my office, the lease was waiting for me. It was just as bad as the restaurant owner said. The lease was a renewal of a renewal of an assignment of a renewal, the original documents dating back to shortly after World War II when a bank first leased the place and the vault was installed. Somehow, the landlord had suckered the restaurant into taking over a lease that left him liable to remove a bank vault at the end of the term. That is crazy. No big deal, I thought. The restaurant can default and all the landlord can do is sue a shell company. But when I got to the last page of the lease, there was a guarantee clause. The restaurant owner had personally guaranteed the lease and he was on the hook for removing a vault weighing 100 tons and then fixing the place up. It would cost a fortune. To be fair, moral of the story so far is you've got to read the contract in full for anything like this because, wow, being personally liable for a 100 ton vault is crazy. The case was hopeless, of course. That was obvious right away. But then I thought about the jerk landlord with his demands and his threats and his rent hikes, and I asked my brain to do me a solid, which it promptly did. I picked up the phone and called the restaurant owner. "I'm screwed, right? You're calling me to say there's no way out. That's what my commercial lawyer already said, but I just thought I'd ask." "Well, I can save you, but it's going to cost." "How much?" "5,000 in legals and another G note for the agent." "Agent? What kind of agent?" "Real estate. Send up a check, certified, and leave the rest to me." The check hit my desk in less than an hour. I went to Aaron's office. "I need a real estate agent," I said. "You buying a house?" "Nope." "Selling a house?" "Nope." By this point, I'd been sharing space with Aaron for almost 5 years, and he knew me pretty well. "You pulling one of your stunts again?" he asked. "Yep, but nothing that will get you into trouble." "All right, I know a guy." Aaron knew all kinds of guys, and that's one of the reasons he eventually got disbarred. But he knew a guy, and he gave me the agent's name and number, and the next day I paid the agent a visit. I told him what I needed, and we agreed to terms. I gave him some papers and the cash for his fee. A few days later, I was again at the vault for lunch. The owner saw me walk in and greeted me himself. "The landlord's here," he said. "Why?" "For lunch, and to be a jerk. Let's sit in the vault room so I don't have to look at his face." He took me to the vault room, and with the door almost completely closed, we had a consultation while we ate pasta and drank red wine. That's pretty elite, by the way, I've got to say. Imagine that. Sitting in a vault, having pasta, drinking red wine. That's like movie scene right there, but I guess the circumstances aren't great, to be honest. So I said, "We're making demand on the landlord," munching on spaghetti carbonara. "Demand? What are we demanding?" I put a document out of my briefcase and passed it to him while I sip my wine. "We're demanding that the jerk landlord release all the restaurant equipment, all the fixtures, the ovens, the freezers, the ventilation, everything you need to run a restaurant. The lease exempts all that stuff. He can't stop me taking what I want. The only thing that matters is the vault, and of course, I don't want that." But I shook my head. "You need the vault," I said. "And we're demanding that he release the bank vault as well. We're insisting that he let you take it out within 7 business days. You think you can beat the landlord with reverse psychology? You think if you treat him like a 2-year-old, you can manipulate him into doing what you want? Well, we'll find out soon enough. He's had the demand for a couple of days now." The restaurant owner dropped his wine glass and it shattered on the marble floor. "You already gave it to him," he said. He got up, swung open the vault door, and called for the waiter to clean up the mess. "Let's see what the landlord has to say," I told him, and we walked over to the landlord's table. The landlord was a big, beefy man with a big appetite. He sat alone, eating wolfishly and with his hands. "My client needs an answer today," I said. The landlord looked up at me as he chewed noisily. "I'm the vault's lawyer," I said. "I gave you a demand the other day. My client needs an answer right now. He needs the vault for a new place, and he's got to make arrangements." "Your client could forget about the bank vault," he said, wiping his massive greasy hands on an already soiled napkin. "But you can't do that," I said. My shock was feigned, but the restaurant owner's jaw dropped for real. The landlord laughed at us. "I'm the landlord. I can do what I want." "I'm gonna need that in writing because my client might sue," I said. "Sue all you like," the landlord told me. "Sue till you're blue in the face." He told me that I'd have a formal response by the day's end, and then he told me to go away and let him finish his lunch. When the letter arrived from the landlord, claiming ownership over the bank vault, I brought it downstairs and showed it to my client. "How the heck did you do that?" "Trade secret," I said. The following month, the restaurant moved out and the place was empty, and that was too bad, because I'd always liked eating at the vault. Now the restaurant was in a new location 20 minutes away. They called the new place The Vault, and they'd preserved the vibe of the old place. It was very similar, except they didn't have the bank vault. The bank vault, all 100 tons of it, was where it had always been, in the basement of the building where I rented space. I showed up for work a little after that, and Aaron collared me. "The landlord's looking for you," he said. "Oh yeah? What about?" "He's really angry. He said his deal fell through." "Deal?" "He was supposed to rent the place downstairs to a new tenant, a bank or a credit union or something like that. They were supposed to come in to sign a lease, but they didn't show up." "And what's that got to do with me?" I said to Aaron. And I said the same thing again to the landlord when he managed to track me down a couple of days later.
"I know you were behind this," he said, his jowls quivering. "I know it was you. That offer from the agent, it was all BS. Just a trick to make me keep the vault so that your client could sneak out of the place and leave that freaking bank vault behind. I'm gonna sue.
If you're looking for counsel, I think I'm gonna have to declare a conflict.
I'm gonna sue the restaurant and the agent, and I'm gonna sue you."
He stormed off. But the landlord didn't sue. Of course he didn't. He didn't have a contract to sue on, only a vague letter of intent that I'd drafted, enough to hook a greedy landlord who was used to having his way. The offer he'd received was non-binding, incapable of acceptance without the signing of a formal lease, which of course never got signed. When I left Aaron's place a year later, the downstairs was still unoccupied, with a sad for rent sign sitting in the window, starting to look faded. So there we go. That is without a doubt one of the best revenge stories I've read in a long time. That was brilliant from beginning to end. What might have been potentially a kind of boring topic, you know, landlords and contracts and that sort of stuff, maybe not the most entertaining, so well written and really good. This guy clearly is just a horrible, greedy man that, yeah, any sort of idea of, oh, can I make some more money from a new bank potentially coming in? He was all for it, not even checking if they were even a real bank in the first place, or doing any sort of due diligence there and working out what was going on. Doesn't really surprise me when he's just as selfish as this, forcing somebody to take a 100 ton vault with them, or he'll sue. I mean, just absolutely ridiculous. I guess this comes down to you have to leave the property in the same way it was when you first got it. But I don't know how anyone would realistically know that, first of all, there was a huge 100 ton vault, and then secondly, that you had to get rid of it when you left, because when you moved in, it was there, right? But again, as was explained in this one, going back to the Second World War and having a contract carryover from there is extremely petty. I do kind of stand by what I said, though. I do think with all these things, you've got to read literally, I was going to say word for word, but almost letter for letter. Like, the punctuation even is extremely important in these sort of contracts to make sure you're not getting absolutely shafted like this guy did. But yeah, if it wasn't for you, OP, I mean, that would have been terrible. But thank goodness that people like you exist and just exploited the guy that was exploiting this unlucky individual.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And now for our final pro revenge story of this episode, just a quick little one to finish. Steal furniture, almost lose your job. So my dad owns a house that he's been renting for some time now. The tenants that lived there were, for the most part, decent people who my dad thought were trustworthy. That all changed about 2 months into the tenancy when the tenant refused to pay the month's rent. My dad showed some leniency and gave them another month to pay up what was owed, but they didn't pay a thing. By this point, my dad, frustrated by the whole situation and being 2 months out of rent money, offered them a deal. Leave the house ASAP and then only pay half the money owed. They countered with a different agreement. They would leave the house in a clean state with all of their furniture left behind as compensation. My dad, wanting to just be done with them, agreed. Cut to when my dad gets to the house, finding the place in a mess with none of the furniture left behind, including the furniture that belonged to my dad in the first place. The two sofas that my dad owned were left behind, but they were trashed and left in the shed. When my dad confronted them, asking for them to pay up the full amount that the furniture was worth, he was met with a promise of payment after 2 weeks, which he didn't believe. And when he requested they pay earlier, he was met with, "Good luck getting your money," followed by laughing emojis. This made my dad angry, and he decided that he wasn't going to let this slide. My dad knew that the tenant was a Christian pastor of a church, and his son also had some job related to the church. My dad contacted the church and explained everything, from how they hadn't paid him rent money to stealing the furniture and trashing the place. The church was somewhat interested about this behavior. The next day, my dad gets an angry phone call from the tenant's son, cursing at him, asking him what he thought he was doing, contacting the church, saying he was being unfair. My dad hung up on him, only for him to attempt to ring 10 times afterwards. From what we could piece together, the church had told the pastor that if he didn't settle things with my dad, him and his son would lose their jobs. My dad received the full amount for the furniture that same day and agreed to back off. My dad later said it was never about the money, but the way this guy treated him and his values. My dad, being a Christian himself, was disappointed. There we go, a nice little one to finish on there. I do have to say that it's embarrassing that these healthy, Christian people who work for the church have this attitude. Does that not go exactly against what they're preaching? Surely it does. Like, how can they go to work each day? Like, you're a pastor, and you are going to work each day preaching, knowing that you're doing this at the same time. How can you live with yourself? I think it's kind of people like this sometimes that give not just the church, not just the Christian church, but just religion in general a bad name, when in reality, it's just these horrible individuals doing things. But then you hear stories like this quite often, and you're just like, why? How can somebody be in this position and do something like this? But I guess it happens all over the world in every single sector. But yeah, normally, like, I thought that the church would usually pay for their residents, but I don't know.
maybe they weren't, or maybe they were, and these two were just, you know, pocketing that and then just, yeah, using it for whatever they wanted. I will say though, shout out your dad, because he is a very, very good man. I mean, who knows, maybe he should take over as the pastor. Probably a much better man than these two. Nonetheless, that is going to do it for this one. Hope you enjoyed, guys. If you did and you want more revenge stories right away, here is an episode which is over 3 hours. If you want to just sit back, relax, and listen to some of the best revenge stories that the internet has to offer, click on that. If you're new to the channel, make sure to subscribe by clicking this button over here, and I'll see you all tomorrow with some more phenomenal Reddit stories.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.